They're not getting cushy office jobs, but they are getting a guaranteed $3,200. And that's what matters most to people like Yolanda DeAnda. With three children and a husband to support, DeAnda says she doesn't care what she does. And she says she doesn't care whether, as some of the mayor's critics have charged, this program is an attempt to buy votes.
Who doesn't go out there and do whatever they got in their hands to get, like, you know, here I am. I knew I qualified for a job, so here I am trying to get one. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of other people thought, hey, I'm never going to get it, but you try. And so that's what the mayor's trying to do, get a job. She's trying to keep her job, just like we are.
But handing out 3,800 new jobs apparently doesn't guarantee the mayor 3,800 new votes. Many of the people I talked to today said the jobs program isn't enough to win their vote, but many also admit it doesn't hurt. And who are these people? The mayor promised they'd be heads of households, among the city's most needy. But many who walked out with jobs today are single, with no dependents. City Personnel Director Charles Poonian says he's not sure how many will slip through, but he says it would be unfortunate if the jobs run out before some of the most needy are interviewed. From Navy Pier, I'm Arch Halperin.
We blew it. That was the explanation from Dennis Church, the mayor's aide who has been working on this jobs project. He says interviewers who were screening applicants for the Department of Streets and Sanitation were supposed to be hiring only heads of households, with some exceptions for female applicants. But I talked with several newly hired workers this morning who have no dependents. Some have working spouses. Some live with their parents who are working. City Personnel Director Charles Poonian says part of the problem is that the city was trying to work too quickly.
Probably the biggest thing was the large number of people rather than the tight time schedule. And they had to press people into service who were not used to doing interviewing and personnel processing. And when you deal with people that are new at something, you're more likely to make errors.
Poonian didn't know those errors were made until he got a call from WXRT News. But Dennis Church says interviewers got the word within half an hour of our call late this morning, and he's sure no more unqualified applicants are being hired. How many slipped through before that time? Church estimates no more than 100 people. And Poonian stresses that all are unemployed and needy, though he says some may be less needy than other applicants. I'm Marge Halperin. The main requirements for these jobs were to be unemployed and to be head of a household, preferably with family members to support. Those were deemed the city's most needy, and it was those people Mayor Byrne promised to help. But when I talked with newly hired workers today, I found several who were not the type the mayor had in mind.
How many children do you have?
None.
None. Do you have a husband or any other dependents?
No.
How many kids do you have?
None married.
Do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Are you married or have
no,
any dependents?
No, I don't.
How long have you been out of work?
Oh, about 3 months this time.
Do your wife work?
Yes.
32,000 people stood in long lines last week to get these city jobs. Only 10% of the applications will actually be reviewed, chosen randomly. Those who are hired are interviewed to be sure they meet the need requirement. How did the people we talked to slip through that system? We blew it, is the explanation from mayoral aide Dennis Church. Streets and Sanitation Chief John Donovan says part of the problem is that the city was in a hurry.
I think it was a combination of things, trying to get the program off the ground to get as many people as working as we possibly can. And this was a random selection, and I'm sure maybe some of the interviewers were not trained properly.
Dennis Church says the interviewers weren't trained to look beyond the applicant's employment status. If they were out of work, they'd get a city job. But he says that's changed now because of WXRT's call. Church estimates as many as 100 unqualified people slipped through, but he says WXRT, quote, sounded some bells, and the problem has now been corrected. I'm Arch Halperin. The main requirement is need. Byrne promised to hire heads of households, people who support their families. But I talked to several newly hired workers who were single, with no dependents, and some who lived with working spouses or parents. How did they slip through? Streets and Sanitation Chief John Donovan says the city was in too big of a hurry.
I think it was a combination of things, trying to get the program off the ground to get as many people as working as we possibly can. And this was a random selection, and I'm sure maybe some of the interviewers were not trained properly.
Mayoral aide Dennis Church says the interviewers weren't told about the need requirement. If an applicant was out of work, they were hired. But he says that stopped after WXRT alerted him, and after as many as 100 people were hired by mistake. I'm Marge Halperin.
This system is as separate today and as unequal today as it was 20 years ago.
That's Commission Chairman Leon Finney, who says the board is 8 schools short of its integration goal. And he says that schools that can't be integrated aren't getting the extra funding they were promised. Finney says it wasn't easy to discover those problems.
This board seems intent on self-monitoring while thwarting and impeding the commission's monitoring functions through foot-dragging and withholding of resources.
Finney says the board's desegregation committee should be disbanded because it's uncooperative and because it has no black members. But board president Raul Villalobos added a black member today and says that wasn't easy to do.
Our committees are voluntary, and I get notification from each board member which committees they would like to be on. The desegregation committee is not a popular committee, to say the least.
The committee used to have black members, including the Reverend Wilfred Reed.
I will not work on any committee when I think it's going to be just the committee in name only, and I can't give the kind of input or the kind of things I want. So don't you sit there and try to say that none of us don't want to be cooperative.
The atmosphere was tense at the board meeting today, but discussion was limited because board members had just gotten Finney's report. There's sure to be more discussion when they've had time to see his complaints in black and white. I'm Marge Halperin. This was Daily Country.
Thank you very much. I have looked forward to participating in this.
Some 2,100 students poured out to greet him. He escaped the
incremental increase so that we can do something about schools.
Washington is also
All of that green in the office makes one wonder how much money. For schools in the CTA. Then Washington says he'd reassess.
David Sawyer can be proud tonight. She stuck to the script again, and she will until the election day.
David Sawyer was sitting front and center last night, maintaining eye contact with the mayor. But Byrne scoffed at Daley's scenario.
I don't even know what he is particularly talking about, but it certainly wasn't jobs. I mean, the purpose of this debate was to discuss jobs and the economic growth for the city of Chicago. I was sticking to the script tonight, and the script was that, in fact, we were to talk about economic development and jobs.
When the candidates finally did get around to discussing that topic, Harold Washington scored his biggest points of the evening.
I will create 5,000 jobs in over 4 years and a waste recycling program costing Chicago no new money. I will, upon taking office, create 11,000 jobs in a massive program of energy conversation of saving Chicagoans $675 million per year. I will create 5,000 jobs every year in making public work improvements.
Washington says details will be out later today. All three candidates discussed the use of federal community development funds. Mayor Byrne defended her use of that money for the schools and for a temporary jobs program. Daley accused the mayor of using federal money for pet projects. And Washington insisted most federal dollars go to the Loop, not the neighborhoods. Byrne fended off the attacks calmly, saying criticism comes with.
This is Aaron Copeland's fan.
Never now in the more than before.
You're sticking with Mr. Vodoliak no matter what?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about these tactics, the whole protest at your office?
The old static thing.
do they, if, should they be writing you letters, or what do you think is the best way to
them? I throw them right in the wastebasket. I don't even read them. I get plenty telephone calls, tell them to stick in my opinion. I'm doing a good job. And that from people in my ward, and that's one I pay attention to. Not that there are any crackpots running all over the country and living on the free land.
Okay, thank you.
The people.
You're still staying with Eddie Verdolia.
Yes, sir.
Have you been getting phone calls, Alderman, any people saying...
All the calls I got, they give me credit for standing up what's right and against what's wrong.
Vito, they say this is a racial thing, that all...
Bullshit, the racial thing. No racial business.
Is it...
I've been dealing with racial for 65 years. Nothing ever bothered me, and I got along with everybody.
If it's not racial, what is it then?
I don't care what it is.
We'll be at the meeting on Friday, Alderman.
I'll be at every meeting, and nobody's going to persuade me, tell me what to do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alderman.
Ladies and gentlemen of the City Council, the 1980 budget estimates the actual cost of running the city's government and for providing a full range of city services in the coming year. It also begins...
The support of these leaders of the professional community means a great deal to me in this campaign. It will mean a great deal to me in the conduct of the office.
Liven up your speeches and spruce up your image. That's what strategist Shirley told Jane Byrne and Rich Daley back in 1980. Byrne was just settling into the mayor's office and tried a new hairstyle and wardrobe. Daley, running for Cook County State's attorney, worked on his oratory. Northwestern University professor Tom Farrell, a nationally known political speech expert, recalls that Daley still had some ground to cover in November 1980 when he gave a well-rehearsed answer to the question, "Will you run for mayor?"
Someone gave him a possible answer that went, "I have no intentions, etc., etc." And since they didn't finish the sentence, neither did Richie.
I have no intention.
You will rule it out flatly?
I have no intention.
Yes. I have no intentions. How's that one?
The job Daley had no intentions of running for was the job that was bringing Jane Byrne one crisis after another. Byrne rambled on about those problems at her frequent news conferences, giving reporters plenty of background material, but often confusing the public.
When he called Joe Dean last Saturday, he was in my kitchen in front of Jay and me. "I'm going to finish this series. As long as I'm here, I'm going to finish it." And Andy asked, "Well, what did you think of the recording?"
There's a sense of somebody being frazzled a little bit. Thin deep structure here is, God, I'm on my wit's end trying to deal with these people. Now, mayors aren't supposed to do that. They're not supposed to talk like that.
The pundits and cartoonists show Rich Daley as a bumbler, but listening to Daley field a touchy question back in 1980, Tom Farrell thinks that's a bum rap.
And the way he handles it is somebody who has evident discomfort. I think he sounds sincere, however, and I think that is one of his real character strengths as a candidate.
He's using it for political reasons, I guess, right, to undermine my personal integrity, my family's personal integrity.
Consultants added a little polish to that sincerity to get Rich Daley 1982 style.
Candidates can make commercials that try to do in 4 months what they have failed to do in nearly 4 years. They can hope...
Well, he certainly has a new rhetoric. It's embellished with all of the proper political embellishments. And he sounds very, very confident in the discourse. One would think he's on a roll. One would think all he has to do is ride a tie to the mayor.
I have decided to be a candidate for mayor of Chicago.
Consultants have also taught a lot to Jane Byrne in the past 2 years. For one thing, they've put distance between the old Jane and the new Jane.
I'm here in this office because this is where the vital work of the past 3 years has been done, where the tough decisions have been made, and where personally I have learned, and I hope grown.
The issue of leadership is one that Jane Byrne might be able to effectively defuse by pointing to the crisis she inherited, how bad the situation was when she first encountered it, everything she's tried to do to turn it around.
But he does have some free advice for Mayor Byrne.
Drop the insider stance with respect to...
But he does have some free advice for Mayor Byrne.
Drop the insider stance with respect to reporters and everyone else. Simply see her conversations as being carried on from her directly to the homes of people in Chicago. Ignore the intermediary.
And here's Farrell's 2 cents worth for the Daily Strategist.
Everybody had fallings in and fallings out with Richie Daley Sr. But nobody thought less of him on the basis of his speaking style. Character, I think, is a much bigger issue than images, than intellectual prowess is. I mean, look at who's president of the United States. No Rhodes Scholar.
Perhaps that's proof that the candidate doesn't have to be a Rhodes Scholar, as long as his or her consultant is. I'm Merge Halperin.
I love it. How do you like it?
There's little doubt that the crowd was stacked at various points along the way, with pockets of support for each of the candidates. But along most of the route, the crowd clearly hadn't made up its collective mind. I caught up with Harold Mick Washington, as he's calling himself today, and he was having the time of his life.
Wonderful, wonderful. They love me, honey.
Don't you hear a few boos in there?
Oh, that's so bad. That's so bad.
Washington and Bernard Epton were supposed to march in the middle of the long parade, far behind Mayor Byrne's contingent. But County Board President George Dunn invited Washington to the front, something that might have bothered Epton, but did not.
None at all. I think it's a very nice spot. George is a perfect gentleman. I'm sure he would show the congressman the respect he's entitled to. He's been in back of the bus many times. Now it's my turn.
And so the social and political Irish-ish have proven once again that Chicago is their kind of town. I'm Marge Halperin.
Bureaucratic flatulence. That's what the State Commission says the nation's 2.4 million vets get from the VA. The commission's chairman, State Senator Carl Burning, says the VA only offers scattered field offices, places Burning says have earned the vets' contempt.
I wish you could have seen the display that was given to us at one public hearing where one of our Vietnam veterans came in with a knapsack and set out about 40 separate containers of various kinds of pills and ointments, and according to his testimony, none of which did him any good.
Burning's group admits it will cost millions to help the vets, but he says it's time the feds recognized a link between Agent Orange and a variety of physical and mental disorders. During 5 public hearings, Burning met vets like Gerald Williams, who says he might as well have been killed in Vietnam.
You know, like my nerves. I can't hold a job. I don't have no job. I don't. Not a way. I have a home that I got from VA. I'm gonna lose it. My wife works. She can't take care of me and my kids. I wanna know what's gonna happen now.
The State Commission couldn't offer Williams much comfort except to promise to lobby the VA and its new chief for help in combating the symptoms of Agent Orange. I'm Arch Halperin. The mayor's allies were to send their council committee plan to the Vrdoljak 29 by 9 o'clock this morning, but by 11, Vrdoljak's bargaining team quit waiting. While they were cooling their heels at County Democratic headquarters, the mayor's team had been holed up in Alderman Wilson Frost's office for last-minute debate. The 21st Ward's Niall Sherman says that so far, their plan retains Wilson Frost as finance chairman, but gives other power spots to all 20 veterans in Vrdoljak's corner. Others have suggested splitting finance between Frost and Vrdoljak's man, Ed Burke, but Sherman says no way.
It could be possible that finance could be split, but in the latter, about who would have part of it. Now, that's another question. I don't think Eddie Burt can bring enough.
You don't think he deserves any part of the finance committee?
Not in my humble opinion.
Meanwhile, the community pressure on the Vrdoljak 29 continues. A small group of black community leaders came to Vrdoljak's office today, promising to return later when they learned that he was out. And four of his allies were confronted by angry citizens groups at their ward offices last night. From City Hall,
I'm Arch Halperin.
Ed Burke says that if Wilson Frost doesn't give up the
finance chairman's office by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, he'll go to court to force him out.